Funding for WBUR comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
One option for those in treatment for alcoholism and substance use is so-called sober houses. Those are places where people live, typically after residential treatment, to support the early stages of sobriety. But many sober homes in Massachusetts have a history of being places where the residents and the owners are anything but sober. As part of the response to the opioid crisis, state public health officials are looking to certify sober homes, which until now have been completely unregulated. We recently visited a sober home during a weekly meeting to talk about the reputation of sober housing and whether certifying it is a good idea.
All right, positives for the week, either recovery-related, family-related, or job-related.
Rich Winant is leading a weekly house meeting in the basement of the Kelly House. That's the sober home that he owns and operates in Wakefield. One of the 29 men who lives here shares that he was just able to buy a car.
Congratulations.
Yeah. That was after getting your license, a month ago?
Yeah.
All right, take it easy there, Bella. She's happy for you, too.
Bella is the black lab mix that lives at the Kelly House, one of the ways Winant tries to make this former nursing home feel like a home. This meeting is a requirement for the men living here, who range in age from 18 to 60. They're also required to undergo drug and alcohol testing and to regularly attend meetings based on the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. Rent is $150 a week. The homes are supposed to be safe places for newly sober people, some who are there voluntarily, some ordered by the courts.
What we provide is a safe, supportive, positive environment where the goal is to make connections, to become part of the community in the house, and you learn from each other. It's a disease of isolation, so you're in a house together with other people, hopefully on the same path.
But Winant has heard that many of the estimated 300 to 400 sober homes in Massachusetts are overcrowded or in disrepair, or most importantly, they don't really crack down and honestly test for substance use.
They may say that they're testing, but that lends itself to the house manager saying, give me $50 and I'll say that you passed.
Because of that reputation, Winant and 11 other sober home operators are part of the Massachusetts Association for Sober Housing. Winant is president of the group, which was formed 8 years ago to try to set standards for an unregulated industry.
Tomorrow, you and I could open a house and call it a sober house and do whatever we want.
And some people who've lived in sober homes have horror stories. 33-year-old Jesse Centimore has been sober for the past 4.5 years.
I've seen and lived in houses where, you know, literally as long as I was giving them a check week to week, my actions and behaviors were overlooked. They didn't really care, which is, you know, absolutely counterproductive to somebody like myself who was in early recovery at the time, and I need that support, that structure, that guidance. Otherwise, my behaviors really probably won't change.
Centimore now oversees 2 sober houses that are operated by the treatment center Gosnold on Cape Cod. He says when Gosnold patients are looking for sober housing, he relies on an informal word-of-mouth network about which houses are reputable. But with the opioid crisis increasing demand for this type of housing, state health officials have contracted with a national group to develop guidelines to certify sober homes. Rhonda Mann is a spokeswoman for the Executive Office of Health and Human Services.
This way, we at least have sort of a general set of guidelines around this process, and we as a state can keep track of where those homes are and be a good referral source for people who are looking for that type of housing.
Mann says the certification is voluntary, but if a home is not certified, the courts will not refer people there. But why haven't these homes been regulated before? Mann says because the homes do not provide treatment, they're legally classified as privately owned lodging houses for recovering substance users. Under federal law, recovering substance users are considered disabled. So imposing requirements on sober houses could be considered discriminatory. The state can certify the homes, though, and make the process voluntary. What's also complicated is that it's not exactly clear how long someone should stay in sober living. Ray Tomasi, president of the treatment center Gosnold on Cape Cod, says that depends on the individual.
We tell patients we want to be here to help you manage your illness over the course of your lifetime. And hopefully that's in increasingly less intensive environments, because we want to get you back into life. Now, it's not to say that some people shouldn't be in 3 months, 6 months. Some people in late stages of this condition, they probably need to be in places like sober living forever.
And if someone is looking for sober living, what should they watch out for? Rich Winant of the Kelly House advises, ask questions. Make sure there is on-site 24-hour management, and be wary of promises.
There are houses out there that are promising parents, we can get your kids clean. And that's not, you know, I don't delude myself. I tell parents every day, I can't get your kid clean and I can't keep them clean. That's up to them.
State health officials plan to have the first sober home certified by the end of January.